Welcome to NPR Illinois' Community Voices. I'm Sam Nofsker, a graduate student in the UIS Public Affairs Reporting Program and a State House reporting intern for WBEZ. I'm here with two of my classmates, Nicole Hittrick from Capital News Illinois and Abbasullah Dehunzi from Illinois Public Media, to talk about policy issues being debated this spring at the state capitol. We're looking at major environmental and infrastructure issues facing Illinois this session. Let's start with Nicole, who has been reporting on data centers in Illinois. What are some of the bills being discussed in our legislature?
Thanks, Sam. I'm glad you asked. So the biggest bill that is being discussed right now is called the Power Act, and it is a massive data center regulation that hits the three concerns that people most have with data centers regarding energy use and prices, water use, and community impacts. And it's kind of a hot topic because AI has grown a lot in the country, and data centers are growing and expanding, and more states are seeing the downsides and jumping in to regulate, and that's why lawmakers are considering it right now.
I'm curious if there are any particular bills that are being looked at the moment, and if so, kind of what their current status looks like.
Right. So the Power Act right now is still being negotiated, from what I understand. I've talked to both of the sponsors of the bill about the negotiations they've been doing with interest groups and some of the other parties. Generally, interest groups like the Illinois Environmental Council and the Clean Jobs Coalition are very in favor of this legislation, and other interest groups like the Illinois Manufacturers Association and the Chamber of Commerce are more opposed because they prefer to address the competition of the economic benefits that come to Illinois from data centers and have that, you know, benefit Illinoisans.
Can you talk a little bit more, Nicole, about how it would benefit, some of those incentives, how it would benefit Illinois, and then what are some of, the pushbacks that they're receiving?
Yeah, so the benefits mostly come from property taxes and utility taxes that data centers pay when they enter communities. A lot of times they also will work with the town on some development projects. But that's one of the big provisions in the Power Act, because it's just setting in stone that those are required. They're called community benefit agreements. And the cons with data centers and data center proliferation is that, A, they do have an impact on power bills, and they do emit this low-level persistent noise that a lot of people, especially those who live close to data centers, they're bothered by. They hear it all the time. It's just kind of annoying. So those are some of the big mitigating factors, and as well with the water use, data centers can use up to a small city's worth of water in cooling. So the Power Act has some regulations about water efficiency.
I'm curious exactly if you go into a little bit more detail about how things look on the political aisle. Where do politicians stand on this by and large? Is it a bipartisan stance? Is it run more along party lines?
Yeah, so the idea of data center regulations themselves are bipartisan. Both parties are interested in it. You see across the country that both parties have been passing these laws. New York has regulations, and so does Florida. So there's bipartisanship there. In Illinois specifically, the Democrats are more in favor of these wide-ranging regulations, whereas Republicans are more concerned about the competition angle, more concerned about data centers being developed in other states, obviously meaning that Illinois would not be getting those millions from property taxes. And they're also not as concerned with the renewable energy aspect of them bringing their own energy, even though they are in favor of that in principle, having them do their own energy generation. But they're more open to those sources being from natural gas.
I'm curious too, if you can kind of talk about where do you think this is going ultimately in the course of this legislative session?
The lawmakers continue to talk about the urgency of this. I think there's a lot of interest in having these passed. Governor Pritzker, for example, has brought it up before. The Trump administration has brought up data center regulations. So there is widespread political will, and I do think that regulations will pass. Because this is so massive, I do think that there's a good chance that they might take a little longer than this spring. But I do think that this year is likely to see some kinds of regulations. And then, Sam, I know you've been talking a lot about, or you've been working on research for water supplies and specifically like Michigan. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I have kind of an interesting kind of start with this particular topic. I kind of began by initially focusing on this particular Senate bill being introduced by Senator Mike Simmons. This was Senate Bill 3681. It was introduced on February 5th, 2026. And this bill made it through its first readings, but it went into assignments and has kind of stalled since then, kind of for a multitude of different reasons. And I'll get into that and kind of where I've kind of honed in my focus since then. But kind of we've had the focus is essentially there are 63 miles of Lake Michigan shoreline that encompasses the entire stretch of Illinois' lakefront quarter. This kind of stretches from North Point Marina to the Calumet Yacht Club. And this area is 100 square miles or 22% of the total size of Lake Michigan, according to the IEPA. This original bill was designed to have the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Chicago kind of monitor drinking water operations to monitor various chemicals, including PFAS, as well as microplastics in the drinking water supply. And by and large, that's what this bill specifically was designed to look at and regulate.
What are some of the downsides to the bill, if there are any?
Well, there are definitely downsides to this particular bill. So one of the things I kind of had learned in my conversations with the Illinois Environmental Council, also with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, was that essentially that this bill had assigned this task to the Water Reclamation District, Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, which is the entity that's not responsible for necessarily dealing with this particular issue. So the bill basically from there was not supported by the IEC or the Alliance for the Great Lakes. And so since then, it hasn't kind of moved anywhere. However, they did point me, both of these two interest groups I spoke to pointed me in the direction of Senate Bill 39817, which has passed the Senate. It is in the House currently. Also, there was House Bill 4418 and House Bill 2955. As for Senate Bill 3917, that's dealing with mandatory PFAS testing in wastewater. House Bill 4418 dealt with plastic pellet pollution in stormwater systems, and obviously House Bill 2955 would establish a PFAS action plan with a 15-member committee. And all of these bills kind of had strangely, especially when I was looking at the House bills, by and large, they are kind of broken down by in a partisan framework. A lot of Republicans were actually quite opposed to the passage of these bills in the House. Meanwhile, like I said, these environmental coalitions also showed their support for these particular pieces of legislation.
So, Sam, with the opposition then, how are some Illinois officials managing or addressing pollution and microplastics and entering like the greater water source for Illinoisans?
So this is something that is a concern for a good amount of environmental groups. I think one of the challenges I spoke to with, and I spoke with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, they had essentially said that there aren't a lot of resources to do monitoring. So the exact figures that they have are kind of not always there. They were hoping when they were kind of working with this that they would maybe receive some help from the federal government. But since 2023, there has been kind of a greater rollback on some of that help. And since then, their efforts have been kind of focused on, by and large, making sure that these systems are avoiding entering the water supply in general. That's kind of also part of the reason they emphasize these other three bills outside of Senate Bill 3681, strictly because they were kind of focused on regulating PFAS and microplastics and stormwater systems and wastewater first and foremost, and having that kind of consolidated PFAS action plan that would help address these issues.
And why is this so important right now?
So there are essentially 6.6 million people who rely on Lake Michigan as a source of drinking water. And that is essentially over half the population of Illinois, as well as in the context of the Great Lakes, there are 12 million people essentially who live on the Lake Michigan's borders, meaning, again, over half that population is sourcing their drinking water from the Chicago area of Lake Michigan. And so chemicals like PFAS are known to induce health effects like cancer, liver toxicity, and also reduce fluoridity. Now, there are specific types of water filters people can buy if they're really concerned about this, but I also raised this issue with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, and they said they, you know, by and large, they didn't want to worry people too much because, again, there's just not the data that's there at the moment to confirm exactly how much of this is in the water system. But even they had said, you know, simply the act of leaving like a hot water bottle in a car is likely to have more microplastics in it than necessarily a kind of average source of drinking water from the Great Lakes. But yeah, and as for these bills in particular, where they're headed, I imagine, you know, there's a good chance a lot of these will make it through the legislative session. Like I said, all the Senate bill as well as the two House bills I mentioned after Senate Bill 3681, they've all passed their initial chamber and have made it into the opposing chamber. So I think it'll be interesting to kind of see where things go from there. We'll take a second to kind of shift gears to talk about Abasola's topic, which is carbon sequestration. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Abasola?
Yeah, so carbon sequestration is the process of capturing CO2 or carbon dioxide from the atmosphere of industrial sources and storing them long-term to help reduce climate change. It works where CO2 is compressed into liquid-like forms, so think like soil, plants, the ocean, and then pumped into rock formations where it's then trapped for thousands of years. I know for me, when I was literally researching this, it was kind of hard for me to imagine what that looks like. So it's not really something that appeals to the senses because it is largely gas, but it is something like something of substance, essentially. It's just not something that you can necessarily see, taste, smell, that kind of thing.
And is climate change the reason why people are talking about it, why it's a big topic of conversation?
It's been on lawmakers and advocates' radar for years now, but it's only recently become a serious topic due to some profit-based incentives, climate change definitely being one of them. I think by and large, it's in the interest of everyone to, you know, help ways to support the reduction of carbon emission released into the air. But there's now a combined interest on jobs and incentives, which would help bring economic developments to the state of Illinois, especially the rural parts. Well, I will say there's not really like a specific bill that's being pushed this session. It's more projects that lawmakers are looking at. Lawmakers have definitely focused more broadly on clean energy through bills like the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. But carbon sequestration is now emerging as a separate regulatory issue, especially around like safety, land use, and environmental justice. So like I said before, there's no like single set of bills, but rather multiple proposals focusing on the regulations for the reasons that I just stated. And to my understanding, there are still some bills that are moving through committees that kind of overlap, that kind of talk about carbon sequestration, but not necessarily hitting the issue directly.
Can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the pros and cons behind forms of carbon sequestration action?
Sure. So some of the pros is that it helps industries like cement, steel, and ethanol lower the emission by giving them another way to reduce air pollution. And like I said before, it helps bring in investments like jobs and infrastructure development to Illinois. And then Illinois actually has ideal geology, which is considered attractive for underground carbon storage because of the deep rock formations that I talked about earlier, which make the state a leader in the industry.
As for like where interest groups and politicians are at the moment with this.
Yeah, so there's a lot of divide. For politicians, they are really supportive of the jobs and the infrastructure and the revenue that it can bring for the state of Illinois. And then there's also some opposition from labor unions and environmental groups. Some see it as useful, as like a useful climate tool to help reduce emission, while others worry that it allows fossil fuel industries to kind of continue instead of transitioning to cleaner energy. And then I know like the Illinois Farm Bureau, they're also concerned about pipeline safety and the use of water impacts, like especially for central Illinois, which relies on the Mahomet Aquifer, which is the main water source for those Illinoisans there. So there's a lot of division for sure.
And what do you think is ultimately the trajectory and future of this?
I think some bills will likely pass in the future for sure. There won't be like a final sweeping resolution anytime, at least not this year. I don't predict. I think a compromise bill will help with basic regulations and permitting rules, and then there will be a continued debate in the future sessions as more projects are proposed.
I think that kind of addresses all of what we were looking to talk about here. I'd like to thank you for listening, and you can hear a replay of this conversation by visiting nprillinois.org. Thank you.